From WTIP News, this is the North Shore Weekend News Roundup. I'm Jay Anderson, and here are some of the stories we've been following this week. The proposed Polymet copper mine in northeastern Minnesota is facing more delays in the timetable to finish its environmental review. Polymet's Vice President of Environmental and Government Affairs, Brad Moore, told the Duluth News Tribune on Tuesday that the mine's revised state-federal environmental impact statement probably won't be completed until the second quarter of 2012. That's months later than predicted by state and federal officials, including Congressman Chip Kravac, who said the statement would be ready by January. Officials also predicted that operating permits for the mine could be issued in late 2012, but Moore says that probably won't happen until 2013. Once permits are issued, construction would take about 14 months. Moore says any production isn't likely until 2014. And in a related story, the Duluth News Tribune reports protesters who say capitalism has run amok and others who say northern Minnesota's environment might be headed in the same direction joined in a rally in Duluth on Tuesday against the proposed Polymet copper mine. About 75 people carried signs, beat drums, and sometimes heckled Duluth Area Chamber of Commerce members as they entered and left a meeting at the exclusive Kichigami Club where the president of Polymet spoke. Outside the club, on Superior Street, a large group of Ojibwe tribal members were joined by Duluth anti-mining activists and a few people from the Occupy Duluth movement. Robert Desjarlais, founder of Protect Our Monoman, said the rally sent a clear message to the northern Minnesota business community that many local residents questioned the potential environmental damage a copper mine could cause, even when weighed against jobs and economic growth. Monoman is the Ojibwe word for wild rice. Members of the Cook County School Board are set to meet next week to hammer out a contract for Superintendent Beth Schwartz. According to Board Chair Mary Sanders, the board will meet 8:30 a.m. to 12:30 p.m. on Wednesday, the 14th. At its November meeting, the board voted 4-1 to extend a contract to Superintendent Schwartz. Member Terry Collins was the dissenting vote. However, the contract eventually offered could be full-time, part-time, or for less than the usual 3-year period. Full and part-time options have been discussed in light of pending budget reductions since mid-summer. Superintendent Schwartz.
In the world of superintendencies, there is no tenure. Many superintendents in their contract have provisions that say, well, since I don't have the security of tenure, you need to inform me in a timely manner if you are not going to hire me back.
Sanders said that while teacher contract negotiations, which are currently being held, are closed, administrative negotiations are mandated to be open. The teachers, however, have expressed dissatisfaction with Schwartz. At the last school board meeting, Cook County Education Association President Jane Gellner presented a no-confidence letter to the board. The letter states the reasons for calling the vote included superintendent micromanaging, lack of trust and respect, poor communication, as well as intimidation and emotional volatility. In discussing the letter, the board and teachers appeared to agree they should hold future public meetings to air these grievances. The first of those meetings has not yet been scheduled. Sanders said all contract options are on the table. Schwartz has been under a pay freeze during her tenure. For Schwartz, the timing is important.
I would expect that perhaps December, or hopefully for me at the latest January, I will know my situation with the district, whether that indeed that would be a part-time offer or a full-time offer.
In its November performance evaluation, the board acknowledged a need for improvement between Schwartz and the teaching staff and suggested professional development counseling. For her part, Sanders told the board last month that in 9 years on the board, she had never seen such unsolicited support for the superintendent as she had in the weeks leading up to the November meeting. The meeting on the 14th will include a tour of the school, the open superintendent's contract meeting, and a closed teacher contract session. The U.S. Postal Service would close 4 mail processing centers in Minnesota as a part of a plan for nationwide cutbacks. The 4 centers in Minnesota are the same ones that the Postal Service said in September it was studying for possible closure. They're in Bemidji, Duluth, Rochester, and Waite Park. In addition, the Postal Service is studying possibly moving some or all of the Mankato Processing Center's operations to Minneapolis. A regional Postal Service spokesman says the plan is not final. Nationwide, the agency plan would close 252 processing centers and slow first-class delivery next spring because of steadily shrinking mail volume. The Grand Marais Public Library is back home. It's new, bigger, and brighter. I arrived the moment it opened on Monday morning and gathered a few impressions and interviews. I'm standing in the renovated Grand Marais Public Library building, and I'm standing back in the stacks, which seem to be a little less crowded. The aisles are wider. There's a space close by for watching a flat-screen TV for Xbox and DVDs. There's quiet places for use of the computers, and there is a lot of space for the books on CDs and the movies. There's a nice-sized, quiet reading room with a nice view. Adjacent to that is a kids' space, with a little tent for kids to be in. There are some folks here who seem pretty excited about it. Are you one of them?
I'm so excited. I didn't realize I would be this excited, but this is our library now, and we get to spend time here, especially in the dark days of winter. Get to have a bright, open space to spend time and read books.
Well, Elaine, what do you think? How does it work so far? You've only been open for a few minutes.
Well, everything is working so far, although it's only 5 after 10. But mostly I'm just really excited for all the customers to come in because I think they're going to really find it nice and comfortable. And the kids are going to have a nice big space. And I just can't wait to show it off to everybody.
This is about as private as you've ever had it.
Well, it's about as authentic an office as I've ever had. Usually I just sit behind the file cabinet and do my work.
Well, tell me, Linda, this almost looks like it's twice as big as it was. Is that just because it's so airy?
Well, we started out at about 4,300 square feet, and now we're up around 7,000. So we're pretty much almost doubled.
It seems like it's so much less crowded, and just kind of a real open sense, and that makes it maybe seem bigger to me. Also, it seems really bright and airy.
Yeah, we made sure we had lots of windows. They all open, so we're hoping to save energy that way on the shoulder seasons, you know, when we don't need our heat. We tried to make every area a little bit bigger. It does have a really nice feel of just being welcoming, you know, open, available places to sit.
But I'm particularly taken by the kids' space. That's a big space, and it looks like a lot of fun for the kids.
Yeah, I hope they have fun. We put them right on the south wall looking towards the lake with lots of open space, and we figure that adults can sit in that area as well and still have a view of what the kids are doing. And then anybody who wants it more quiet, we've got a separate quiet reading room so they can go in there and not be part of the hustle and bustle of the front desk and the children's area. But mostly we're here, and yeah, it's working well.
What do you think?
I love it.
You a regular library user?
I will be now.
You're walking around the library, and what are you seeing that's different?
It's bigger, definitely.
And as we talked earlier, you were homeschooled. So is this going to increase your use of the library by having it larger and...
It's the same stuff, although we were just commenting there's room for more media, it looks like, and there are more computers, and there's touchscreen computers. The librarian just showed us that are brand new, so we're excited to look at those in the kids' area.
Can you show me that?
Fascinating.
Show me what that is.
The librarian said both of these computers were new today.
Show me how that works, Hattie.
Like, you can touch anything. Like, you can touch this.
Look at that.
Touch this. And it lights up. Touch that again.
Turn from a pig to a dog.
Yeah, and then you can turn back into a cat, I think.
Why are all these colors on the keyboard? Does that help you?
Yeah, it must.
She was the first one to touch the screen. And then what did you say about how to keep it clean?
It'd be really hard to keep it clean because lots of people.
Lots of little sticky fingers on the screen, right?
Touching it over and over again.
It is fabulous, isn't it?
Yeah.
It's so bright.
We heard from Aaron Bonner, Elaine Erickson, Linda Chappelle, John Gruber, Hattie Kunze, and her mother, Christine. You've been listening to the North Shore Weekend News Wrap-Up. To hear more from the WTIP News team and to check out the full versions of our stories, visit us at WTIP.org. For North Shore Community Radio, I'm Jay Anderson, wishing you a great weekend.